Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump meet in their first debate Monday night at Hofstra University on Long Island. The debate falls on the anniversary of the historic debate between two previous presidential candidates. It was September 26, 1960, when Republican Richard Nixon, then the vice president, met Democrat John F. Kennedy, then a senator from Massachusetts, in the first ever televised presidential debate. Here's Senator Kennedy in his closing statement that night.
If we fail to move ahead, if we fail to develop sufficient military and economic and social strength here in this country, then I think that the tide could begin to run against us. And I don't want historians 10 years from now to say these were the years when the tide ran out for the United States.
And here's Richard Nixon.
I believe that when we examine the Democratic platform, when we examine the proposals that he has discussed tonight, when we compare them to the proposals that I have made, that these proposals that he makes would not result in greater growth for this country than would be the case if we followed the programs that I have advocated.
Joining us now to discuss the history of presidential debates is Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. He's with us from Princeton. Julian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to get to some of the history, and we'll be playing some more tape from the past. But first of all, your expectations for Monday night when Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump meet, this in itself is going to be a historic moment.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big debate. Social scientists often say debates don't make that big of a difference. But the number of people who are going to watch this and the kind of fireworks that I think we can expect on the stage, given what we saw in the Republican primaries, might make this more significant than they otherwise would be. And they're going to, I'm sure, be very aggressive with each other.
And what do you think the strategy will be on each side? Are they going to try to get the other one on a policy, or is it going to be about getting a little soundbite that'll play over and over again on Twitter, or what?
Well, the most important thing in debates is not to make a mistake. And certainly Hillary Clinton, who's very seasoned, will be doing that, trying to avoid any semblance of an error. Donald Trump is more freewheeling, and we don't know exactly what he will do, but he will be provocative, and I'm not sure he's going to calm himself down that much. So I think each has a very different strategy. Obviously, Hillary Clinton wants to use this to communicate to the public more about herself, what she stands for, and to respond to this ongoing concern that some Democrats seem to have with her.
Okay, let's go back to that first Kennedy-Nixon debate. It was 1960. The Cold War was on. How did that debate affect the election?
Well, it used to be said that it was pretty decisive, and that when people saw John F. Kennedy, how he looked and how he sounded, it was such a dramatic contrast with Nixon, who had his 5 o'clock shadow, who didn't look into the camera, who really seemed uncomfortable, that was why the election ultimately went one way or another. It's not clear that's true. People have responded that's an exaggeration. But it did confirm a basic impression that had developed about the two candidates and some of the excitement that had been generated about John F. Kennedy.
And after that debate, there wasn't another general election presidential debate until 1976 between Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. Why not?
Lyndon Johnson didn't want to have a debate after the assassination. He himself was not totally comfortable being on television. Richard Nixon certainly didn't want to repeat what was seen as a big mistake in 1960. There were also regulatory issues about whether you needed to put all candidates on the stage that created concern. So, it's a new kind of event, and all these disincentives were enough to not have these debates. Gerald Ford really didn't have that luxury. And so, Ford really wanted to show the country he was more than the predecessor of Richard Nixon. And Carter was very good on television and in the media, and so he was very comfortable in this kind of format.
Although he was on the losing end of one of the most famous one-liners in debate history, as far as I can tell, which happened in 1980. Let's listen here to Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And this was right after Carter laid out a plan for national health care.
These are the kind of elements of a national health insurance important to the American people. Governor Reagan, again, typically is against such a proposal.
Governor, there you go again.
There you go again. Why was that line so important, and how much did it alter the race?
Well, it's a great example of where substance really isn't at the heart of these debates. It's your style. It's your mannerism. And you know, Carter had just given this long speech about how Reagan was this radical and he had been against Medicare in the 1960s and he was going to go after Medicare again. And just with a smile, with a laugh, and with the humor that Reagan was very good at displaying, he basically, for many Americans, knocked out the seriousness of what Carter was saying. And that was something that he was very skilled at. Again, did it alter the debate? Carter thought it did, but I'm not convinced that because of that line, that's why we get a Reagan presidency. There were many other factors at work that moved the campaign in Reagan's direction.
Now, Monday will be the first time that there is a woman on the presidential debate stage. We have had women in vice presidential debates, of course, Sarah Palin, and then Geraldine Ferraro. Let's listen to this clip from, this is the vice presidential debate in 1984 between George H.W. Bush and Geraldine Ferraro.
Let me help you with the difference, Ms. Ferraro, between Iran and the embassy in Lebanon. Iran, we were held by a foreign government. In Lebanon, you had a wanton terrorist action where the government opposed it.
Let me just say, first of all, that I almost resent, Vice President Bush, your patronizing attitude that you have to teach me about foreign policy.
Julian Zelizer, what does that tell you about maybe what Donald Trump needs to think about as he goes into this debate?
Well, you know, obviously the same kind of issue will emerge. How does he respond to her? How does he interact with her? His naturally aggressive style could create and replicate the same kind of interaction that you just heard. The thing about Donald Trump is he doesn't seem to care. And so if the past is any indicator, that kind of concern won't bother him. And he is willing to say something provocative, dismissive, being patronizing, and he'll just write it off later as not what everyone is saying it is.
Hmm. As you say, the candidates are going to have to avoid mistakes and gaffes and looking bad when the other one says something about them. Let's listen to this moment from 1988.
I have as much experience in the Congress as Jack Kennedy did when he sought the presidency. I will be prepared to deal with the people in the Bush administration, if that unfortunate event would ever occur.
Senator Benson.
Senator, I served with Jack Kennedy. I knew Jack Kennedy. Jack Kennedy was a friend of mine. Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
Now, it's a famous line, and you can't see it on the radio, but one of the things I think that makes that one so devastating is the look on Dan Quayle's face when he is just being dressed down by Senator Lloyd Benson there. Your thoughts?
Yeah, there he was like a deer caught in the headlights when you watched it on television. That's the kind of one-liner that really is important in the debates, whether we think that's a good thing or not. And there are gaffes. Like you said, in 1976, you know, Gerald Ford was asked about Soviet domination of Eastern Europe because conservatives were criticizing him for being too soft on communism. And Ford said there is no Soviet domination of Eastern Europe. And the moderators are stunned by listening to the president say this. And he meant something different. He meant to say he didn't think it was legitimate Soviet power in that region. But it was the kind of gaffe that really cost him.
One more thing I want to ask you about, and that's the moderator. Listen to this. In 2012, Republican Mitt Romney criticized President Obama over not calling the Benghazi attack a terrorist attack. And then Candy Crowley of CNN weighs in.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
I was saying, he did. Can you say that a little louder, Candy, he says there. But do you think the debates, the moderator is going to play an important role in fact-checking this debate?
I think they have to. I think we are in a moment in political history where there's a lot of fuzziness, as some people are saying, with the truth, with fact. And I think it's incumbent on the moderators in this day and age to push back against candidates with what they say. They can't just let the candidates use this as a 90-minute opportunity to tell us their campaign ads. I think it will be a better event if the moderators are tough with the candidates.
Julian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton's Woodrow Wilson School. Fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.